Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Do you know, I can't see anybody at the back. I can see you guys here. If people would like to come forward, you're more than welcome, so I can see your face. If you want to come forward, there's a lot of empty seats here. You're welcome to come and join us here. And I want to say a welcome to everybody online. It's lovely to know that we're all together to hear God's word today. And God's good. Our worship was beautiful this morning. Thank you for coming. Here we go. That's lovely. It's lovely. It's best. You know, there's something about sitting close. Do you know that? Because when I see the whites of the eyes, I start firing. Very hard to fire into the darkness. But when you can see the whites of the eyes, I go for it. I want to preach this morning about the best subject in the world. What I'm going to talk to you about this morning, there isn't anything in this world better to talk about than this subject. And the subject is Jesus. Amen. When the Apostle Paul founded the Corinthian church, he wrote a letter to it sometime later. And in that letter, he said this: "When I came to you, I determined to know, not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. When I came to you, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Paul was so taken up with Jesus Christ that made the whole of his life. That's all that he wanted to know about. I just wish that everybody in the world would be like that. Because if we were like that, there'd be no war right now in the Ukraine. Come on. We live in a strange world, a sad world, a mad world, a world that is a dangerous place to live in. Right now, whether we realize it or not, there is a possibility of a nuclear war. And whether you realize it or not, there are enough nuclear weapons, bombs in this world to destroy civilization as we know it. Man has got to a place where he has produced enough weapons to destroy civilization as we know it. That's a crazy world to be in. It's never been like that before. There's been wars, there's been tragedies, there's been terrible things all through the history of mankind. But we're living in a day and age that we've never seen the likes of before. Nuclear weapons, chemical warfare. And by the way, the chemical warfare began in the First World War, in the trenches with the gases. But of course, they've gone on to produce things today that we don't even know about. It's a mad world, a sad world. Out there, it's tragic. And it's time that we realize that the hope for this world is Jesus. Yes. And so I'm going to tell you this morning about Jesus. Jesus, I want to introduce him to you. You here and you online, I want to introduce you to Jesus. No one in history has ever come close to him. He's resilient, steadfast, powerful, popular, tough, immortal, indestructible, but he's also loving, caring, compassionate, forgiving, kind, gentle, meek, and friendly. There has never been or ever will be anyone like Jesus. He's the best this world has ever seen. And he's the best this world can ever see. Jesus. There's no one like him. Receive him. Believe him. Accept him. Follow him. And I'm telling everybody here and everybody who's listening to me, and I wish the whole world could listen to what I'm saying now. Follow him. Receive him. Believe him. Do you know, Jesus Christ is the most popular personality that has ever lived. Ever. You can't come anywhere near the popularity of Jesus Christ. How many of you know that when he was crucified as a criminal? To be crucified in the Romans' day was, they crucified the lowest of the low. the Romans had several forms of execution. And a lot of Romans hated crucifixion. They thought it was too barbarous. And so crucifixion was kept for the lowest of the low. Usually, it was slaves that were crucified who'd gone offline. If they'd done something wrong, they'd crucify a slave because a slave was a nobody. A slave had no rights at all. And when you crucified somebody, as far as the Romans were concerned, that was the worst execution you can have. And you know what the Pharisees shouted out when they came to Pilate when they arrested Jesus? What the Pharisees shouted, not the Romans, the Jews, crucify him. Crucify him. We will not have this man rule over us. They try to put him down. And I want to tell you, for the last 2,000 years, this world has tried to put Jesus down. But he's indestructible. He's the only person you can't put down. They tried. They tried their hardest when they crucified him. They crucified him to say, he's the lowest of the low. Put him down. We don't want him. Get rid of him. There was a handful of people who believed in him. Just a handful. Most of the Romans hated him. I am amazed at the wisdom of God. And I'm also amazed at the... I reckon God's got a tremendous sense of humor. Listen to what I'm going to tell you now. If you can grasp this. Jesus Christ was crucified just outside of Jerusalem as a criminal. Even though Pilate, who was judging him, the governor, said, I find no fault in him. The governor didn't. Herod didn't. Caiaphas didn't. These men says, what has he done wrong? And he knew that he was to be crucified because of the envy of the Jews. So they put him down. They crucified this man who had a following of a handful of people. Now, the empire in that day, the greatest empire, was the Romans. In fact, the Roman Empire was the longest empire that there's ever been. It lasted for about 1,000 years. Romans were ruthless. They had many gods. They worshipped many gods. And they made many of their Caesars to become gods. A lot of people who led the Romans, when they died, became their gods. In fact, some of them, when they were alive, became their gods. Men like Augustus and Pompey. They were men who became gods. Caesar became gods while they were alive. And then when they died, they worshipped them as gods. Now listen to this. The Romans hated Christians. And they hounded them and persecuted them and put them to death. Now when Jesus died, rose from the dead, that handful of believers were set on fire for him. They were a handful, mostly peasants. There was a few intellectuals among them, but not many. Mostly peasants. I want you to grasp this. I'm telling you, you can't put Jesus down. Are you listening to me? He rose from the dead. And the proof that he rose from the dead, listen to this. For 300 years, the Romans persecuted the Christians. They persecuted Jesus. When Paul, who says, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus, Paul was a Pharisee, and he persecuted the Christians. And once on the way to Damascus, Jesus got through to him. He fell off his horse when a light came, and he fell to his knees, and he was on the floor, and he heard a voice saying, Saul, because that was Paul's name before he became a Christian, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul could not see. An incredible thing was happening here. A light was so bright that the men around him couldn't see what was happening. He fell off his horse. He heard this voice, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said this, who is it, Lord? Who's talking to me? And the voice came back, I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. Wow. That was a shock. You can't put Jesus down. He thought Jesus was dead. He thought he was finished. And it revolutionized his life. After 300 years of persecuting the Jews, the Christians, you know what happened? There was an emperor whose name was Constantine. And he was ruling the whole of the Jewish empire. And he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Suddenly, Jesus, this criminal, this one who is less than a slave, becomes the God, the Almighty God, the Almighty power of the Roman Empire. Do you know what Constantine did? He had the cross painted on all his shields. Do you think about what I'm saying, friends? We're talking about an unknown person in Israel crucified as a common criminal with a few followers. Within 300 years, the Roman Empire had accepted this criminal that they crucified on the cross as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the first, the last, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. Hallelujah. You can't put Jesus down. Isn't that a one? That's a marvelous thought, isn't it? That is, that the Romans accepted him. The church grew and grew. In the first 100 years of Christianity, at the end of 100 years of Christianity, it was estimated that one in every 25 people on planet Earth were Christians. One in 25. The gospel had gone into India. The gospel had gone into China. The gospel had really penetrated Asia. The gospel had gone right through Europe. The gospel had gone into England. I'm talking about within the first 100 years of Christianity, one in 25 were believers. Well, it's 2,000 years later. And I know that a lot of people say to me, well, it's dying out. Look at Australia, look at America, look at England, look at Europe. Jesus Christ is not as popular today. Let me tell you something just to shock you. Are you listening to this, everybody? Are you listening? Today, there's close to 8 billion people in the world, 7 billion something. Over 2 billion of those 700 billion over 2 billion accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Did you hear that? That means not one in every 25 accept Jesus, one in every 7, one in every 8 are accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Come on, you can't put him down. And they've tried to put him down. For the last 2,000 years, they've tried to put Jesus Christ down. They've tried to get rid of the Word of God. They've tried their utmost to put him down. But you can't put him down because he's indestructible. Hallelujah. No one has a following like him. There's been more books written about him, more poems have been written about him, more songs have been written and sung about him than anyone else in the whole of the universe. This is Jesus who they nailed to a cross. I think that's great. I think that's wonderful. He was sent from God and he returned to God. I want to tell you today, you can trust Jesus. He will never let you down. This world cannot be trusted. I was waiting for some sort of response, so I'm going to say it again. This world cannot be trusted. I thought to myself, I was listening just yesterday to the news, and we know that Afghanistan has been taken over again by the Taliban. The Taliban who wants to rule Afghanistan with an iron rod. There's been some terrible bomb blasts in Taliban in their places of worship. People have been killed and mutilated. by another group, not the Taliban, a group that hates the Taliban. There's no peace in this world wherever you go. Well, I'm talking to you right now in Myanmar. There's a terrible war being fought. Terrible things are happening there. Many spots in the world, there are wars. And we've got people in the world that I would think are absolute maniac leaders. One of them has got the name of Putin. Who thinks he's a maniac? North Korea. That little bomb man up there. The little rocket man in North Korea has got nuclear power. They can put the finger on it and do devastation. Putin is a man that's got power. But how many of you know he's not sane? He is insane. He is devastating the Ukraine, killing thousands and thousands of innocent people, children. He's shelling and bombing hospitals and schools, railway places, anything and everything, housing, accommodation, and people are dying because one man is an idiot. Let me just tell you something. You can't trust this world. Now you may say, but we've got NATO. Give me a break. Do you think NATO are so absolutely in unity and unison? We've got a group that's called the United Nations. One of those members of the United Nations is Russia. Is the United Nations in perfect harmony? No. What about America? The United States of America. How many of you know that that's the greatest power on the earth today is the United States? How many of you know it's anything but united? Yes. Come on. You can't trust the world. I want you to know it. You can't trust the world. You could trust Jesus, but you can't trust the world. This world does not hold the answer for life. You can't trust politics. You're not going to sleep out there, have you? Or perhaps you're really enjoying the political argy-bar that we have. Are you enjoying it? Running up to the election? Isn't it wonderful? Can't wait to get home and turn the radio on or turn the telly on to see what the politicians are saying. Give me a break. You can't trust the world. You can't trust politicians. You can't trust your power. You can't trust your money. You can't trust religion. And this is the one that's going to get you. You can't trust yourselves. Come on. Come on. You can't trust yourself. You might be sitting there right now looking at me so religious, looking so sanctified. But I haven't seen you at home, have I? When the door is shut, when you're having a ding-dong with your husband, or at the kids, or the cat, or the dog, whatever it may be. You can't trust yourself. You can't trust politics. You can't trust power. You can't trust religion. But you can trust Jesus Christ. Because let me just tell you, Jesus Christ is not religious. He never has been and he never will be. They've tried to turn him into religion. And unfortunately, there's some churches that are religious. You can't trust them. Come on. Any church that becomes religious, you can't trust that church. You know, I love Christianity. I love Jesus. I became a Christian when I was 15. At the age of 15, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I just knew I was saved. I just knew I was born again. I just knew that he was the one I wanted to follow. I'm now nearly 81. I'm still following Jesus. And can I tell you this? I've been in church all my life. All my life. I've done much for church. I've done a lot of things. But I'm not here today because of you. I'm not in church because of church. I'm in church because of Jesus. I'm not here because I trust you, because most of you don't. I'm here because I trust him. And let me tell you this, you can't trust me, but you could trust him. Don't make Christianity a religion. It's not a religion. There are many religions in this world, and you know the huge difference, I've told you this before, the huge difference between religion and Christianity. All religions, whether they be Buddhism, whether they be, anything you want to mention, anything at all, Hinduism, whether it's, I was trying to work out how many religions are in the world. There are literally hundreds. We know there's the most well-known ones, but there's hundreds and hundreds of religions. And you know, when you study them, this is a baseline of all religions, whether it be Buddhism, which is a strange religion anyway, but Islam, it's a baseline for Islam, the baseline for Hinduism. This is what they say. If you are good, you can come to God. That's what their teaching all comes down to. If you are good, you could come to God. So what God is saying is, I want you to come to me, but you've got to be good to come to me. So join a religion. Join Hinduism, Buddhism, and become good so you can come to me. Do you know Christianity doesn't teach that? Religious Christianity does. But that's not Christianity. Christianity does not teach you be good and you can come to God. Christianity teaches come to God as you are and He'll make you good. Yes. There's a huge difference, friends. Come as you are. Don't wait to be good because you'll be waiting forever. It'll never happen. It will never ever happen. You come to God as you are, with your faults, with your failings, with your attitude, with your temper, with your lust. Come to God as you are in your sin. Come to God as you are, and He will make you good. Because the first thing He will do will wash you in the blood of Jesus Christ. He will wash you in the blood of Jesus Christ. He will wash you in His Son, the Son that you can't put down, the one that you cannot get put down. He's always there. He always has been. He always will be. He rose from the dead to prove they couldn't put Him down. I love the sermon that Pastor Pamela preached the other week about the stone was rolled away. They put Him in a tomb. And they rolled a stone in the front of that tomb, and it said it was a big stone. That's what it says. It was a huge stone. They wanted to put Him away, and they sealed the stone. And they put guards there to watch it. They wanted to put Jesus away, but guess what? They didn't. They couldn't. And do you know one of the most wonderful things? He didn't roll the stone away. An angel of the Lord rolled it away. Jesus was risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can't hold Him down. He's bigger than you. He's bigger than your problems. He's bigger than your husband. He's bigger than your wife. He's bigger than your kids. Hooray! He's bigger than your boss at work. He's bigger than anyone or anything you can think of. He is number one. He is Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's no one like Jesus. You could trust Him. You can believe in Him. Jesus loves you. Jesus cares for you. Jesus knows you better than you know yourself. He knows your weakness. He knows your failures. And He says, come to me. Just come to me. Follow me. Trust me. Believe in me. He's not saying, come to me, follow me, trust me, believe in me after you become good. He's not saying that because you can't do it. He's saying, come to me as you are. That's why all religion is a totally frustrating game to be in. If you're religious this morning, you're frustrated. You're trying to climb to God. You're trying to get to God. You're trying to climb up that ladder to get to God, but you're not good enough. You can never do it. Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So you can't do it. But if you come through Jesus Christ, you just come as you are. On the way to God, the blood of Jesus washes you clean. Hallelujah. Makes you clean. Doesn't make you perfect down here, but it makes you perfect in heaven. Doesn't mean that because you're a Christian, you're perfect, because you're not. Come on. None of us are any better than anybody out there, except that we've come to Jesus and he's washed us in his blood. And we're on the way to perfection. We're growing in him. Amen. We're learning. We're trusting in him. So Jesus loves you. Jesus cares for you. Jesus will protect you. Come on. He will be your shepherd. He will be your guide. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Jesus, you are with me. You are the good shepherd. Jesus, you are with me. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And one wonderful, remarkable, I love this. When you follow Jesus, doesn't mean you don't have problems. Doesn't mean you don't have trials. Doesn't mean that things won't go wrong. But when you follow Jesus, he brings you through. You will go through valleys. You'll go through the valley of the shadow of death. You'll go through trouble. You'll go through hardship. You'll go through lean times and mean times. You will, because that's the world in which we live. You can't live in this world and not go through the mean times. Jesus lived in this world. He walked this earth, and he went through the lean times and the mean times. They hated him. They rejected him. All things went wrong. The devil just couldn't stand him, and they beat him, crucified him. But he came through. And because he came through, you come through. Because he lives, you will live. Because he lives, we live also. Amen. He is a King of kings and he's a Lord of lords. I'm going to tell you, you can't put him down. I want to tell you something about Jesus. God loves him. Did you hear me? Listen to this as I bring this to a close. Paul's writing to the Philippians. And he's writing this letter from prison. He's actually in Rome in prison when he wrote to the Philippians. And the Philippians has more passages about joy and sentences about joy than any of the others. So Paul was in prison. He's got nothing. He owns no land, no houses. He's got no bank account, got no credit cards, got nothing. He's sitting in a prison. And the clothes that he's got, that's just it. He's got nothing. He's got nothing. But he writes from this prison to these Christians, and he talks about joy. Hallelujah. He's in prison with nothing, but he's got the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Come on. Everybody say this. The joy of the Lord, is my strength. Let's say it. And you out there that's listening to this just now, why don't you say this along with us all? Come on. The joy of the Lord, is my strength. When you have his joy, you can go through anything and everything. And Paul talks about his, and he had some incredible affliction, the Apostle Paul, but he says this light and momentary affliction. That's how he called it. He said it's nothing. It's nothing compared with what God's going to give to us. I said to you, God loves Jesus. Listen, Paul says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. This is from Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, of a slave, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus humbled himself because it was God's will that he dies on that cross, because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And then he says, because of that, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God has exalted His Son. He's number one. God has set Him high. You don't get any higher than Jesus. God exalted His Son because you can't put Him down. Hallelujah. Now here's another interesting scripture from the Gospel of John in chapter 1. If I could just find this. John chapter 1, beautiful scripture. Verse 10, talking about Jesus. He was in the world. That's Jesus. Jesus was in the world. And though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. What a mystery. He was in the world. He was the world made through Jesus. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him, the Word, Jesus, was not anything made that was made. You're here because He made you. He created you, and He made everything around you. Jesus is a great creator. He was in the world. He humbled Himself. He was in the world. The world was made by Him, and the world did not recognize Him. The world did not know Him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Now listen to this. I love it. Yet, to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Those who receive Jesus are born again. Those who follow Him are born again. Those who receive Him as He is. You've got to receive Jesus as He is, and you've got to receive Him as you are. No good saying, well, Lord Jesus, I really want to follow You, but I've got to clean a few things up first. I've got to get right. I've got to put this right. I've got to put that. When I've done this, Jesus, honestly, I'll come follow You. No, that's not going to happen. You need Him to put things right. You need Him to help you. You need Him to make your marriage good. You need Him to help you with your kids. You need Him to help you in the workplace. You need Him to help you with sickness in your body. You need Him. You need Jesus because your sins need to be forgiven. And let me just tell you this. Nobody can forgive your sins except Jesus. Let me tell you this. There's not a priest walking on planet Earth that can forgive you of your sins. The Pope in Rome can't forgive you of your sins. No matter what anybody says, there's only one who can forgive, and His name is Jesus, because He died for you. It was His death for you because of His love for you. And if you want to be forgiven, you come to Him. Are you going to follow Him? Are you going to trust Him? Are you going to believe in Him? Are you going to stick with Him? Today, tomorrow, next week, next month, not knowing what this world's bringing forth. And I'm going to tell you, let me just tell you this, according to the Bible, it's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse. Jesus made that very clear, how bad things were going to be just before He comes. I've got one bit of good news to tell you before I close, and that's this. This world will not be destroyed by nuclear power. It can be, but it won't be, because the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. When this world is ready to end, God will end it. When things get to a stage where God thinks that's enough, there's enough evil and sin and wickedness in the world, I'm putting an end to this. And when He does, there will be a trumpet blast. Everybody in the world will hear this trumpet blast, and there'll be a shout from heaven. An angel will shout, and Jesus will come and take everybody who believes in Him off this earth. That's going to happen, friends. And let me just tell you this. We're not far from it. And yeah, I know the world will laugh and mock and say, that's stupid what you're saying. I'm telling you, we're not far from it. And there's a lot of people in this world right now that wish it had happened today. Come on. There's a lot, and I've found something out. The older you get, heaven looks far more attractive. When I got saved when I was 15, and if you would have said to me at the age of 15, are you ready to go to heaven yet? I'd say, no, I want to get married first. And I did. If you'd have said to me when I got married, well, are you ready now to go to heaven? I'd say, no, I want to have some kids first. Well, that was a mistake. But anyway, I said, I want to have some kids first. And I did. And if you were to ask me after, do you want to go? No. I always find a reason as I was getting older, no, not yet. I'm ready to go to heaven, but not yet. I'm ready to go. And if, you know, Jesus comes now, I'm ready. And if I die, I'm ready. I'm going. But as you get older, you've been married, you've had your kids and your grandkids and your great-grandkids. And then it's just me and Jesus and my dog. And I tell you, heaven looks so attractive. And if I go today, I want to take my dog with me. I believe with all of my heart that we're in the last days. I say that because of scripture that I could point out to you. We're in the last days. There's not much longer left, friends. Don't be amongst those who will be left behind. Don't be amongst those who will crucify Jesus afresh. People are still doing it. People are still trying to crucify Jesus. People are still trying to put him down. People are still trying to say, you know, it's, you know, the Chinese tried their hardest to get rid of Jesus. They tried their hardest. They kicked out all the missionaries. They burned all the Bibles they could get. They destroyed all the churches. So the church had to go underground. Just a few years ago, I was preaching in India. I was in central India. And I'd heard some people say that there's a lot of Christians, sorry, in China. There's a lot of Christians in China. And I try to work out how many Christians are. So I looked at some facts and figures and got, and most people think there's at least 100 million Christians in China. When I was in central China, I was teaching these leaders, and a leader came through. I heard that this guy was coming through, and he's only going to stay one night. But he's a guy that leads all these other leaders, and I was. And so he came, and he spoke broken English. It wasn't too bad. We had some good conversation. And I said to him, how many people are in your part of the church that you oversee? How many? I got the shock of my life when he told me. You know what he says? Oh, I look after over 20 million. That's just one group. 20 million. Almost the population of Australia. And that's just one group. There is no country tried harder than China to put Jesus down. But you can't. You can't shut him up. He keeps coming back. No matter how much you try to knock him down, he's back up again. The Russians tried. North Korea's trying. The atheists are trying. The agnostics are trying. Other religions are trying. But you can't put him down. Because in the end, he will be the one to bring the end. The Lord himself will come down with a shout. The archangel, he'll come down and bring judgment. So I'm saying to you now as I close, why don't you start to follow Jesus? And if you're a Christian, or was, but you're finding it hard, join the club. It's not easy. If you was to say to me, John, I'll become a Christian today if it's easy. Well, you're not going to make it, because it's never going to be easy to be a Christian. Because you're following Jesus. Jesus says, in the world, you will have trouble. But don't be upset. Be happy, because I've overcome the world. If you're going to wake up tomorrow and expect it all to be good because you're a Christian, you've missed it. Because the devil hates you. By the way, the devil's got your number. He knows your phone number. He's got your mobile number. He knows everything about you, the devil does. And he hates your guts. This world will try its hardest to put you down and to stop you being a Christian. It'll throw everything possible at you. But stay with the over 2 billion on earth today that still confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Stay with them. because you've got a glorious future in Jesus. And let me just tell you this, and this is definitely in closing. Is there a future on this earth? No, there's no future. People have thought there was for generations. There's a future. I've got to get more money. I've got to get more house. I've got to get more land. I've got to get a better job. I've got to get a better wife. I need several wives. Whatever it may, there's a future here. But do you know what? They find out there's not a future here. Do you know why? Because they grow old and die. They found out you can't take it with you. We have found that out 3,000 years after they built the pyramids, that you can't take it with you. Because you know when the pharaohs died, they used to bury them with a lot of their goods. They used to bury them, by the way, sometimes with their wives and their servants. They used to poison them and bury them with them though, so they could go to the next life. And they used to put into their tombs all kinds of valuables and gold and silver, all sorts of stuff. And 3,000 years later, we've robbed those pyramids and took it all. Do you know why? Because you can't take it with you. You can't take it with you. When Jesus comes for you, he's coming for you, not your house. He's coming for you, not your clothes. He's coming for you, not your hairdo. He's coming for you, not what you are trying to build here. He's coming for you, and he's going to take you out of this place to a place far better than we could imagine. In my Father's house are many mansions, he says. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm coming back to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you will be also. How many people here and online, how many people are glad that you can't put Jesus down? Come on. They've tried, but you can't put him down. And do you know what? When you follow Jesus, they can't put you down either. I said Jesus is indestructible. Everybody put your eyes on me now. You are looking at an indestructible man. Me. Do you know there's not a weapon in this world that's been yet fashioned that can destroy me? I'm indestructible. Even my skin cancers can't destroy me. They can try, but they can't. By the way, if you wonder what this was, a black eye and that, it's not that I'm doing a scene for Frankenstein. It was a skin cancer that they cut off. I get a few skin cancers. But one day I'm going to get a new body. It'll never have a skin cancer again. Come on. I'm indestructible. Nuclear weapons cannot destroy John Warwick. No tanks can destroy him. Nothing can destroy him. You could destroy the body, but my spirit and soul will be with the Lord for eternity. And one day, he'll even raise this. And if I don't think I'll be preaching in heaven. I don't think any of us need to. But if I am, and you see me, I'll guarantee when I'm preaching to you in heaven, I haven't got one skin cancer. Come on. Not one. I'll be transformed into his likeness, and so will you. So isn't that wonderful? Do you think it was a good sermon this morning? I think it was terrific. It really got me going. He's indestructible. Therefore, we are indestructible. Will you just close your eyes with me now? You who are listening online, just close your eyes. I want you to determine again, to determine not to know anything except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. As you travel through life, follow Jesus. Hold on to Jesus. Receive him, believe him, follow him. Don't let him go. Don't pull away. Don't give up. Stay with Jesus. And at the end, your reward will be absolutely incredible. Now, Father, you know who's in this congregation right now. Those who are listening on, you see their hearts. I can't see their hearts, Lord, but you can. And you know if there's some here, Lord, that's given up. They were following you, but they found it too tough and they've given up. Lord, speak to them through this message, and may they renew their fellowship with you again. Jesus, please, help them to start again afresh, to put their trust and confidence in you. Every person here, Lord, that's starting to grow cold, may they not grow cold towards you. Lord, help us to grow cold towards the world, because the world has got nothing really that is desirous for us. Help us to grow warm to you, Jesus, to love you, to thank you for all that you've done, all the good gifts you've given to us and all the promises you've made for us. I pray people who are in this congregation right now that have grown cold, and people who are listening online right now, I pray for you also. If you've grown cold, if you've started to fall away because it's too tough, stop it. Get back with the Lord. Come to Jesus right now. Dear Jesus, I pray that each person that's heard this message right now will ask you to forgive them and come close to you. Come close to you just as they are. They may have a mountain of problems, but Lord, let them come to you. May they come to you. May they desire to come to you and change them from the inside out. And may they walk the walk and talk the talk that you've called us to. Bless us, Jesus, as we bless you. We'll give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory, because Jesus, you and you alone are worthy. And everybody said, amen. God bless you all. Thank you.